In our second reading today, St. Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and the community at Corinth was kind of a mess at this point. There were so many factions and divisions within the community. You had people breaking off into different groups. You had certain people who were suing other people in the civil courts within their community. When they'd get together and have banquets, the rich people were feasting right in front of the poor people who didn't have anything to eat, and they wouldn't be sharing their food. And there was a lot of envy and pride over spiritual gifts. You know, one person's like, oh, I'm speaking in tongues, and you can't do that, which means I'm better than you. And so there was all this division within the community. And St. Paul gives what we hear as the second reading today as his response to all these divisions that are going on within the community. He develops this image of the church as the mystical body of Christ. And certainly Christ is the head of the church, but each one of us as members of the church through our baptism is like a cell within the body. And so each one of us depends upon every other member of the body in order to flourish. You know, none of us can flourish on our own. And if we look at our parish as an example, you know, certainly where would our parish be without a priest? You know, without a priest, we don't have the Eucharist. We don't have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ physically present with us. And we don't have the forgiveness of sins. And we don't have the anointing of the sick. But what if you had a parish that was just a priest and you had nobody in the pews? You know, there would be, we need people who are in the pews. We need parents who are open to life and who bring children into the world and who raise them and educate them in the faith. You know, but where would our parish be if we didn't have any musicians or if we didn't have anyone teaching PSR in the mornings, teaching the faith to our kids? Or where would we be if we didn't have anybody cleaning the church or anyone maintaining it? You know, the church, our parish here, needs members that have all these different skills and abilities in order for the church as a whole to flourish. And none of us can do it on our own. You know, each one of us has received the faith from other people. We've received it from our parents or from the church or from other people who have imparted the faith on us. And none of us can say that we just embrace the faith on our own. You know, we're all indebted to the church. And so, you know, I think that's important for us to understand, you know, that the church, within the church, we depend upon each and every other member. And as we look at the church, first of all, it matters that we're here. Because it matters to God that each one of us are part of the church. And also, it matters to each and every other person within the body of Christ. You know, if we decide not to engage in the body of Christ and not to be a part of it, every other member suffers as a result. Because our skills and the abilities that God has given us will not be used for the good of the church. And so, you know, it matters that each and every one of us are here offering our prayers. Because if we're not here offering our prayers, there's other people in the church that need those prayers. And if we're not offering them, then other people are going to suffer as a result. And so every one of us is dependent upon every other member of the body. And it matters and it's important that each one of us are here and each one of us engage in the mission of the church. You know, God did not have to design it that way. You know, he could have made it that everyone just makes an individual act of faith between them and God, and that's all that would be necessary for salvation. But he chose not to work out our salvation that way. He chose to create the church because it was his means of uniting together the human race into one family, bringing us together. He wants us to be dependent upon each other. He wants us to be sharing our gifts and using our gifts for the good of others and vice versa. That's what God has intended. And that's God's instrument for uniting our divided world and bringing us together. I want you to imagine for a second how different it would be if every single person in Logan County, 100% of the population, was Catholic and actively engaged in the faith. Imagine how different our county would be. You know, imagine what our worship would be like if our churches were just packed with thousands and thousands of people. You know, how vibrant and how powerful that would be for so many people to be worshiping together and offering their praise and adoration to God. You know, think about how different it would be to walk down the streets of of Russell's Point or of Belfountain, and to know that every single person is a member of the same parish, the same church. Every single person was a fellow parishioner, and we were sharing their suffering and their joys with them, and that we were all part of one family. Imagine how different our county would be. You know, that's what God is trying to bring about. And no other institution or organization can bring about that kind of unity. You know, a nation can't do that, because a nation can enact laws, but it can't make people good. It can't bond them together into a family the way that the church can. You know, sports are important, but our kids are in sports for a couple years and then they move on. Sports do not have the power to unite us together as one family. You know, our schools are important, but they don't have the power to unite people together into a family. You know, kids are in school for a few years and then they move on. It's only the church that we can be a part of from the cradle to the grave and into eternity, and that has the power to unite everyone together into one family. No matter what their background is, the church has the power to unite us together. I think what we need is a revitalization of the church. You know, it's for people to recognize how important the church is in God's plan of salvation and the benefit that can come when people are united and truly engaged in the church. You know, so many people put their energy into other places, you know, and the church comes second. You know, there's so many other things that they put first. But I think it's important for us to recognize how important the church is in God's plan and what can happen when we truly place the mission of the church first. There are different forces that are attacking the unity of the church. You know, if you imagine for a second a body where 75% of the cells are not functioning properly, what would happen to that body? You know, of course, that body is not going to be healthy. It's not going to flourish. It's going to wither. The reality is, within the Catholic Church, 75% of people don't even attend Mass in the United States. They're not engaged in the faith. And the body suffers as a result. And so one of the things that's undermining the unity and the strength of the church is members who aren't living up to their responsibility, who have fallen away from the practice of the faith. And I think it's important for us to help them understand how important they are to the mission of the church, that it matters that they're here, that they're an important part of the church. Another force that's attacking the unity of the church is schism. Divisions within the body of Christ, groups that throughout history have broken off. You know, there's Christians who, you know, worship at the Lutheran Church. There's Christians at the Methodist Church, at the Presbyterian Church, at the Episcopalian Church, at the Salvation Army. You know, each one of these different Protestant denominations. There's so many divisions within Christianity. And St. Paul addresses that type of schism, because within Corinth there were groups that were saying, well, I was baptized by Paul, or I was baptized by Apollos, or I was baptized by Peter. And they were breaking off into different groups. And Paul is saying to them, there is one body, and there are to be no divisions within that body. No divisions. And often people will say, well, it doesn't matter what church we belong to. As long as we love Jesus and as long as we worship him, that's enough. And it's certainly good and important to love Jesus and to worship him. That's great. But Christ calls us to more. He calls us to unity within his body. And so it's important that we follow and heed what our Lord desires for us, that we be united into one universal church. And the word universal is Catholic. The word Catholic means universal. Christ instituted the Catholic Church to be his means of drawing all people to himself. We're blessed to have a wonderful parish here at St. Mary of the Woods. And over the past several years, I've seen it come alive as more and more people are engaging in the faith and are excited about the faith and are looking for ways to put their gifts to the service of our parish and the church. And that's awesome. And that's great to see. And I encourage each one of us to embrace that. Every single person sitting in the pews today is a part of this church, and every single person has been given gifts by the Holy Spirit. And it's important for us to discern and to pray about what those gifts are. You know, what we as individuals have been given by the Holy Spirit, and how we can put those gifts to the greater service of the church. And so as we reflect on this image of the church as the body of Christ, we reflect upon the importance of each one of us, every cell, every member of that body, and to use the gifts we have been given for the mission of the church through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the church may flourish in this world, and together we may be brought to eternal life.